The Indonesian government continues its efforts to ensure that the management of village fund remains transparent and well-targeted. The Minister of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, highlights the crucial role of the Attorney General's Office in overseeing this process, particularly through the Jaga Desa application. More details by Okra.
The Minister of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions, Yandri Susanto, emphasized the strategic role of the Attorney General's Office in promoting transparency and accountability in the management of the village fund. He conveyed this during a meeting with Attorney General Este Burhanuddin at the main building of the Attorney General's Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to him, the synergy between the Ministry of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions and the Attorney General's Office is crucial, especially through the Jaga Desa application, which has helped village leaders to directly report various problems in their villages.
Luar biasa support dari Kejaksaan Agung Republik Indonesia.
To support from the Indonesian Attorney General's Office is really amazing, especially with the presence of a special application, Jaga Desa. This application greatly assists village leaders in directly reporting problems in their villages. It serves both as a guide and a preventive measure against undesirable practices in managing the village fund, which totals a significant amount nationwide.
In addition, the Ministry of Villages Development of Disadvantaged Regions considers collaboration with law enforcement agencies, particularly the Attorney General's Office, is essential to ensure that these funds are used according to regulations and have a tangible impact on village communities. Going forward, this synergy will be further strengthened to more effectively enhance the capacity of the village officials in managing state finances.
The next news. The Chairman of Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, Saleh P. Dawlai, stressed the importance of the tourism bill to create quality and sustainable tourism. This bill, an initiative of the House, carries a new paradigm, shifting from mass tourism to quality tourism with a focus on integrated ecosystems. Saleh said that the bill covers 12 aspects, including education, destination, management, and empowerment of local communities. Commission 7 stressed the need to strengthen the content of tourism awareness education. According to him, the involvement of various ministries is also considered important. In addition, Saleh Dawlai said that the government has stated that it's ready to discuss the bill and will adhere to the problem inventory list that has been submitted. Commission 7 and the government agrees to conduct internal consolidation in the next 30 days. The next news. Indonesia Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Rahmat Pamburi, said that the 2025 till the 2029 Indonesian National Medium-Term Development Plan is implemented to achieve development targets in line with the President's vision, namely together with Indonesia progressing towards Golden Indonesia 2045. In a working meeting with Commission 11, of the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Thursday, he conveyed that the development targets include poverty reduction to economic growth. He explained that the development plan was formulated to answer challenges and support the implementation of national programs.
RPJMN diarahkan untuk mencapai beberapa sasaran pembangunan diantaranya.
The midterm development plan is directed to achieve several development targets, including poverty reduction, improving the quality of human resources, sustainable high economic growth, and reinforce with targets on foreign policy and environmental aspects. The national priorities also maintain 17 priority programs of the President, which include development plans in various sectors, as well as steps in the form of the Best Quick Result Program. And all of these efforts are formulated to answer the main problems and challenges appropriately, quickly, measurably, in order to create a solid structure in supporting the implementation of various national development programs. The midterm development plan is directed to achieve several development targets, including poverty reduction, improving the quality of human resources, sustainable economic growth, and reinforce with target on foreign policy and environmental aspects. National priorities also contain 17 priority programs of the Indonesian, which include development plans in various sectors, as well as steps in the form of the Best Result Program, Quickly or Quick Wins. And all these efforts are formulated to answer main problems and challenges appropriately, quickly, measurably, in order to create a solid structure in supporting the implementation of various national development programs. Furthermore, Rahmat Pambudi said that the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045 emphasized the importance of cooperation in supporting development from the younger generations. According to him, the Indonesian younger generation must have the same determination based on foundation that has been built to realize Indonesia on par with developing countries in 2045. Meanwhile, the head of Commission 11 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Muhammad Haikal, said that the planning made must be able to answer the challenges of the global economy, social environment, and increasingly complex geopolitical dynamics. Therefore, according to him, the policies designed in the national medium-term development must be adaptive, innovative, and oriented towards inclusive and sustainable development. And the final news. The public is urged to be more aware of hearing loss at an early stage. During a webinar entitled Changing Mindsets, Empower Yourself, Let's Make Ear and Hearing Care a Reality for All, on Thursday, the Director of Communicable Disease Prevention and Control at the Indonesian Ministry of Health, Dr. Siti Nadia Tarmizi, said that the hearing loss often goes unnoticed until it has serious consequences, especially in children. According to Dr. Nadia, WHO data for 2021 indicates that 1.5 billion people worldwide are at risk of hearing loss, with approximately 430 million in need of rehabilitation.
Kalau kita lihat bahwa dari laporan WHO tahun 2021,
according to the WHO 2021 report, 1.5 billion people are at risk of hearing loss due to reduced hearing function, with a threshold of more than 20 decibels. 20 decibels are the normal hearing threshold, meaning that 1 in 5 people may experience hearing loss due to environmental factors. Nearly 80% of people with hearing loss live in middle and low income countries. This means that given Indonesia's diverse income levels, we must consider hearing loss as a significant problem for our society.
Bervariatif ya, yang artinya kita juga harus melihat bahwa ini suatu ancaman untuk masyarakat kita.
According to the WHO 2021 report, 1.5 billion people are at risk of hearing loss due to reduced hearing function with a threshold of more than 20 decibels. 20 decibels are the normal hearing threshold, meaning that 1 of 5 people may experience hearing loss due to environmental factors. Nearly 80% of people with hearing loss live in middle and low-income countries. This meant that given Indonesia's diverse income levels, we must consider hearing loss as a significant problem for our society. Therefore, Dr. Nadia reminded the public to conduct early detection and maintain hearing health by reducing exposure to loud noises. She also stressed the importance of educating parents and teachers to recognize the signs of hearing loss among children. And that's the news. Coming up next is commentary on Voice of Indonesia to be delivered by Anna Trijayakasih.
Today's commentary is on government ensures national rice production surplus. Indonesian national rice production until April 2025 experienced a surplus of around 2.8 to 3 million tons compared to the previous year. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Agriculture Sudaryono, when reporting on the condition of national food availability to President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday emphasized that the government is committed to maintaining food security and stabilizing the prices of basic necessities. According to Sudaryono, the president asked government officials to maintain the current surplus trend. The government is targeting an annual surplus of 5 to 6 million tons to avoid imports. Currently, national rice production ranges from 30 to 31 million tons per year. To maintain the surplus trend, the government asked farmers to immediately replant after harvest. In this way, farmers can harvest up to 3 times a year. Meanwhile, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Food, Zulkifli Hasan, is optimistic that Indonesia will not import rice next year, or 2026, thanks to increased domestic production. He emphasized that one of the main factors in achieving a rice surplus is the distribution of subsidized fertilizers that is running well. The availability of fertilizers before planting is considered to play an important role in increasing agricultural productivity. Zulkifli Hasan also emphasized that the government will continue to oversee food policies so that Indonesia achieves sustainable rice self-sufficiency. Supervision of production, distribution, and the availability of rice stocks in the market are the main priorities. In addition to increasing production, the government will strengthen the role of the Red and White Village Cooperative. This cooperative distributes agricultural products and provides for farmers' needs at affordable prices. Hopefully, the availability of national food, which is currently recorded as a surplus, can be maintained so that food self-sufficiency, which is part of Asta Cita, which is President Prabowo's 8 main missions, can be realized. That was commentary.
And that commentary close up today's news from Voice of Indonesia, and always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia.
Yang sampai hati tersa, sisi ingredients is snail, but it's named escargot from Italy. The snail is made as curry, along with various Indonesian typical spices. Some says this menu is only available during the holy month of Ramadan. What is this food? Gulai seafood. The typical food of Riau is also called gulai seafood or lengkitang.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, still thinking about where to go to enjoy the beautiful sunset? Why not join to Tanjung Setia Beach? Only on Voice of Indonesia in Indonesian Wonder.
Relaxing on the beach and enjoying the sunset are always a very pleasant choice when you are on holidays. It sounds ordinary, but Tanjung Setia Beach area in West Lampung has an extraordinary sunset. To reach the beautiful beach, you need approximately 8 hours by motor vehicles from Raden Insan Dua Airport, Bandar Lampung. It is approximately 273 kilometers from Bandar Lampung as the capital city. Tanjung Setia Beach is located along west coast of Lampung Province near the Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park. The waves at Tanjung Setia are called one of the best for surfers from all over the world and are almost equal to the world famous surf spot Hawaii. During the surfing season, at its peak, which runs from June to August, the waves can reach 6 and even 7 meters and stretch for 200 meters, making it a prime playground for surfers. Besides the challenging waves, Tanjung Setia Beach has soft white sand and sunset views that offer interesting attractions. The shores of Tanjung Setia are also dotted with palm trees that provide a beautiful and calming view. Furthermore, away from the shoreline and the pounding waves, the offshore of Tanjung Setia awaits sport fishing enthusiasts to reel in an abundance of fish. Although the various fish are sore, the legendary giant blue marlin is the favorite to catch in these waters. Locally known as Iwatuhuk, the blue marlin can weigh from 50 to 70 kilograms and measure up to 170 centimeters in length.
Yeah.
after this, we will listen to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa, only on Voice of Indonesia with Tetau Siapapun.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesia Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is di Nusa Tenggara Barat. Di Nusa Tenggara Barat, which means in Nusa Tenggara Barat. You will listen to a conversation about siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Datiel, a local at Pantai Seger or Seger Beach, Lombok Island, about people joining the Baunyale Festival. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Baunyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. I will say it two times slowly and please repeat after me. Siapapun. Siapapun, which means everyone. Boleh. Boleh, which means allowed. Ikut. Ikut, which means join. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means traditional clothing. Menanggap. Menangkap, catch. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. Anak-anak, anak-anak, which means children. Remaja, remaja, which means teenager. Orang tua, orang tua, which means elderly. Orang asing, orang asing, which means foreigner. Festival Baunyale. Festival Baunyale, which means Baunyale Festival. In this conversation, you hear the expression siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale, which means everyone is allowed to join in catching nyale. In the expression, there is the word siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone, in other sentences. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger. Siapapun dilarang membuang sampah di area Pantai Seger, which means everyone must not litter at Seger Beach. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun. Sirkuit Mandalika pada hari tertentu boleh dikunjungi oleh siapapun, which means at certain days Mandalika Circuit can be visited by everyone. Baunyale tradition is a seaworm catching tradition in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Baunyale is believed to be related to the legend of Princess Mandalika. In the legend, every prince in the region loved Princess Mandalika. But the princess turned into Nyale, or sea worm, to avoid conflict among the nations. The name Princess Mandalika later became the name of the Mandalika Tourism Zone and Pertamina Mandalika International Circuit. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya lihat ada anak-anak, remaja, dan orang tua ikut festival Bau Nyale ini. Apakah acara ini juga boleh diikuti oleh orang asing seperti saya?
Oh, tentu boleh. Siapapun boleh ikut menangkap nyale.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about siapapun, siapapun, which means everyone. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
welcome back to Music Corner. And it's a pleasure for me to be able to greet you again in the Music Corner program. Of course, this time, I'm going to play a regional pop song from the land of Cendrawasih, precisely from South Papua, entitled Yapo Mama Cica. The lyrics of this Asmat language song tells the story of the carefree and friendly life of the Papuan people. The joy is implicitly reflected in the cheerful and happy tone. So, here is Yapo Mama Cica, sung by Vita Alfia. Enjoy!
Yapo mama cica, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama. Yapo mama cica, kakai mama.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, boy listener, for accompanying me in today's broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, there will be a lot of more program and information that will accompany you in the next hours on Voice of Indonesia. And don't forget that you can send your critic suggestion and also information through our social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. We also have our email address in VOI at boynews.id and WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Again, +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, boy listener and internet viewers. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33.25千赫和17.55千赫。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRI Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。
From Indonesia to the world。
欢迎收听的是从印度尼西亚民乡世界，听众朋友您好，我诺法祝你身体健康，天天开心。在今天一个小时的华语节目，我想为您报道一些印度尼西亚的信息，其中这一是相关废物管理称为优先事项，是印度尼西亚政府制定综合战略。本台还会播放一些在印度尼西亚流行的歌曲，其中支持伊斯兰宗教的歌曲，还有印度尼西亚美丽，是给你介绍印度尼西亚各地区的土的。好吧，开始本期的节目，请各位收听新闻报道。Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界，现在报道新闻。印度尼西亚各地区的垃圾问题是Prabowo Subianto衷动关心和优先考虑的问题。2025年3月12日，七组市市和区域发展统筹部长 Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono Jaya Jia Ratu Li Kung 以空白那个部分部长举行有限会议后发表新闻声明时转达了作为解决拉吉文梯的七里步骤 Prabowo Subianto Chungtung 已经下令了成立一个驾书全国拉吉管理工作组他其实说 这工作组将重点关注基础实施和基础的政策的事实，而其的任务是给予环保基础的电能的2018年第35号中东条例，苹果被确定为非物管理重点城市的12个城市。
Tentu Satgas ini akan melakukan evaluasi terhadap apa yang telah
berjalan selama ini. Tentu saja, evaluasi terhadap apa yang telah berjalan selama ini. 2018年第35号冲动调理 这一位置已经运行了大约7年 已经决定的印度尼西亚有12个城市必须重点关注类似的处理 甚至希望能够将 垃圾转化为能源。除了组建国家废物处理家属工作组之外， Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono 还表示，提高公众对废物处理问题的认识和关注也很重要，其中这一就是从小在学校加强对废物管理的教育和社会化。 Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono 解释说， 印度尼西亚政府还将注重实施基础，并加强从上游到下游处理废物的基础事实。Agus Yudhoyono 还表示，作为国家努力的一部分，政府还将发起一项全国性的运动，建设一个没有垃圾的清洁印度尼西亚，以提高公众意识，确保 垃圾管理可持续的进行。3月12日，印度尼西亚外交部长苏比奥诺在印度尼西亚外交部接见了马来西亚驻印度尼西亚共和国大使 Sheikh Muhammad Hasrin Tengku Hassan， 两人讨论了边界谈判进展、经济合作、 东盟、巴勒斯坦问题等等，两国双边关系中的几个重要热点的问题。苏吉尔外交部长对印度尼西亚与马来西亚目前正在进行的海上和陆地边界谈判的进展表示赞赏，并表示致力于继续尚未完成的谈判进程。在经济合作领域， 外交部长苏吉奥诺对印度尼西亚与马来西亚关系的未来表示乐观。马来西亚在印度尼西亚的一些陶瓷项目，如巴达米娜和佩特拉纳斯的合作，也有在中立奥与提上的合作。马来西亚是东南亚第一次大陶瓷国，2023年陶瓷额达到41亿美元。除了讨论双边议题以外， 两位也讨论了东盟议题，在这方面，外交部长苏吉奥诺转达了印度尼西亚支持马来西亚担任2025年东盟轮值出席国的承诺。此外，外交部长苏吉奥诺和马来西亚驻印度尼西亚大使沙特 Mohammad Hasrin Tengku Hussein 讨论了巴勒斯坦问题。 双方终身两国坚定致力于解决巴勒斯坦问题，包括通过永久停火和两国解决方案。马来西亚是印度尼西亚重要合作伙伴，也是印度尼西亚最近的邻国。印度尼西亚与马来西亚外交关系已经有68年了。 以及至2025年4月， 印度尼西亚全国大米产量将第7年出现盈余，约为280万至300万吨。 就是农业部副部长苏达里诺三月十日在雅加达都里宫会见拉波沃苏比安的总统后，向媒体发表的声明中转达了这一点。苏达里诺表示，拉波沃苏比安的总统。